it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time and answer questions that you sent in, emailed or mailed in or just called in. And so we're going to take time and answer several of them today. So first of all, I would like to share a little how we're doing things. So how are we doing, Angel? Been a busy summer. Been a great summer. Been a busy summer.
I think we're doing pretty good.
Yes, I think we're doing real good.
I had a big birthday this year. I turned 60 this year.
Have mercy on high. And people always say, I wonder how old Joe is. Well, I'm turning 72 this year. It's a great age. I love it. People say, you want to go back? I don't ever want to go back. I like my age. I'm going to live forever anyhow. You know, biblically, I'm going to live forever. So I'm just getting started.
Woo. Joe is his own bird.
I am. Well, I had a family, several of my family members, several lived into their 90s. One lived to be 102. So McGee's live forever. So I'm going to be here a while. And let's have some questions.
Okay. Joe, how do you prioritize quality time for prayer, worship, and spiritual reflection as a couple? And what benefits have you seen from doing so?
I've never done that.
So you've not seen any benefits from it?
Oh, no, benefits, but we don't. People used to ask when we had a small family of people that's, how do you have prayer time as a family? So we don't.
Well, this is as a couple.
Yeah, I know, but it's got to, and I know what they're getting at. And, well, my spouse isn't very spiritual. Well, you're not going to make it spiritual. Only God can do that. You just need to love them. And so, I never bowed my head when I prayed. I'll just say, hey, Ainge, we need to agree on this. And I just quote some. I do it all the time. Hey, Ainge, we need to agree for this. Matthew 18, 9 said, you need to agree. He'd do it in heaven. So we need to agree for this. This door needs to open here. We need to get this thing settled here. This thing's still hanging. It's been hanging for several years. We need to get this thing closed. And we just say some scriptures, you know, Matthew 18, 9. We're going to agree. And I'll say amen. And then we're just going about our business. So it's not like we bow our head, shave our head, and light a candle. We don't do that. God hears everything. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. God knows your mind, knows what you're thinking before you think it. And so you're not shocking God, but God says there are 8 scripts in the New Testament. He said, you have not because you ask not, ask that your joy might be made full. We need to ask, but some people, well, I want to wait till I'm dressed and I've showered and I've shaved and I'm cleaned up. I mean, one preacher one time said, I don't pray unless I got a suit and tie. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. If you're going to wait until then, hell's going to clean your plow. So you just pray when it hits your mind. You know, pray when you drive, pray when you're mowing the grass, pray when you're sitting watching a ball game. You can pray anytime. It doesn't have to be some kind of overly spiritual thing. God's listening. He just needs you to ask. So just pray. Pray whenever it hits your mind. Comment on that.
I agree. I mean, sometimes I think we have something in our mind that is so structured and it can become such a religious duty that you miss the point of it.
Well, men hate looking stupid. And so if you're putting pressure, I don't know who it is, husband and wife, especially the ladies who can put pressure. Well, we don't ever pray and we don't ever read our Bible again. And of course you're shoving him so far away, he'll never come back. So you can't do that. You can't accuse him. The devil's the accuser of the brethren. That's what the devil does. Don't ever accuse him. Just say, hey, can we pray about this? Hey, honey, grab my hand just a minute. Let's just agree on this. Keep it short. Compliment them a lot. Both spouses need to compliment the other. Man, I really appreciate you doing this. Appreciate this. People go where they get thanked. People go where they get appreciated. But if you're always accused, well, we never pray. That's why God's not me. We never pray. Well, that's going to make them pray less. I guarantee it. Make her pray less. That won't inspire them. So you got to find a way of getting these things done. So smile a lot. Speak softly.
Love.
Yeah, it's called love. I think it's in the Bible.
How do you answer the hard questions with your kids? My kids have questions about death and sickness and evil in the world. Do you have any advice?
Yeah, answer them when they ask and keep the answer short. They're not asking for a 1-hour sermon. We used to joke about it. Kids asking about sex. I said, you're washing dishes and all kidding you. 5-year-old asks you about sex, don't panic. They don't even know what they're asking. They've heard something at school and say, hey, mom, what's so-and-so? And just stay calm. Well, and give a short answer. If a 5-year-old asks you about something hard, give them a 5-year-old answer. A 10-year-old asks you something, give a 10-year-old answer. A 15-year-old answer, give a 50. Keep it age appropriate and keep it short. If they want to know more, they'll ask more. But usually they've just heard something. They just, oh, okay. And they'll walk off, you know. And so the hard things, they're going to come up. I used to joke, I kept 2 fire pits in my yard. I lived in this stone one house for about 32 years, built a big barn house out in the country. I had 2 fire pits in my yard. And sometimes I knew I needed to talk to my kid, but if you say, hey, we need to sit down and talk, they're not going to talk. So I just go out and build a fire. Wintertime, summertime, kids come out, what are you doing? I'm just building a fire. Are you going to cook something? No. Can I bring some marshmallows? Sure. And so I'd sit around the fire. And so not every kid would come out. Sometimes just a couple or maybe 3 or maybe the one I want to talk to, and then I don't know how to start the conversation. So I said, hey, Dad, you ever thought about this? I said, no. You know, just keep it short. Well, I said, why? You thinking about it? Yeah. Well, anything you want to talk about? Yeah. And just keep it short. And they'll open up. But if you hit back hard like you're a detective with a lamp in their face, they're not going to talk to you. And if you ever embarrass them or you're rude to them, they'll never open up again. So you got to keep a wide open door. Every time, you know, my kids would ask a question, I'd give an answer. Honest, calm answer, you know, and just say, well, how do you think that's going to turn out, babe? I mean, you know, you're smart. How do you think that's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen to them? And I'd put it back. Jesus always answered a question with a question. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you just read it. Jesus always answered a question with a question. Well, honey, what do you think? How do you think that's going to work out? And they'll give a good answer. They're smart. You got smart kids, smart spouses. They'll answer. So you got any comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, if kids ask you questions about death and sickness and the evil in this world, I mean, to me, that's a very simple thing to address. I mean, when Adam ate the fruit, he got kicked out of the garden, and then Satan became the temporary god of this world.
Legal god of this world. That's why there's, I tell you, that's why prisons are full and orphans are full, and you know, that's why Satan's in charge of this planet. No God is. No God's not in charge of nothing. God's not allowed on earth unless somebody invites him. We call that prayer. Jesus said 8 times you test, you have not because you ask not. God is not allowed on this planet unless a human invites him. We call that prayer. That's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. Pray with all manner of prayer. You need to keep your mouth moving all the time. God, I'm just thanking and praying and believing for this. And I'm asking about this and talking about this. So keep your mouth moving, talking to God all the time. And it becomes a habit. You think it's normal. Your family will think it's normal. And so kids going to ask hard questions because they're going to hear stuff at school, and they're going to hear, they might have a bad dream or think something. And then what do you think? What do people die? So, well, they get old, baby. The body wears out. You know, the Bible says this body we have is, in the Bible, New Testament says it's damned. It's going back to dust. One day we will get a new body. The one we got's getting older every day and crinkly and wrinkly and, you know, and so you ever seen your great grandmother? She's kind of crinkly. Well, it wore out, but she's going to get a new body one day and we're going to live forever in heaven. So it's just part of the process, you know. So you ever go back by a graveside, then we'd go decorate the grave once a month. You know, grandma had a big family, so we'd have to go mow the grass and put the flowers and pull the weeds. And my whole life till I got married, I went to the gravesite once a month. And I thought, why do we always go to the grave? And so I remember when my wife died 7-8 years ago, I've never been to the grave once. And they said, oh, you don't go to the grave? No. Why? She's not there. She's in heaven. I'll see her again one day. She's not in that hole in the ground. The old body that's decaying's in that hole in the ground, but she went to heaven. And so I don't make a big thing out of that. I just grew up different. I said, but you go, I don't need to go to the graveside. I don't need to go see it. I don't need to go stare at it. And a lot of people do. Some people do, and they want to go and they think, whatever. And that's fine, but you don't have to. The body, the spirit, the soul went to heaven the minute they drew their last breath. They're in heaven now. So give just simple, straight answers when they ask hard questions.
Agree with that.
Yes.
Joe, I need to talk to my teenager about sexual purity, but just don't know how to do it. No one talked to me about it, so I'm just not sure where to start.
You've done the best of anybody I've ever heard. Now, I did good, but age, you did great. So you answer this?
Well, one day my son was, I guess, about 11 years old, and he came around the corner. I was in the kitchen, and I said, I don't know what's been going on, but whatever it is, it doesn't look very good. And I go, what are you hiding behind your back? And he's got this like freaked out look on his face, and he pulls out a Victoria's Secret. And I said, let's sit down and talk about this for just a minute. And he goes, okay. And I said, first of all, I think it's wonderful that you think women are beautiful. I think that's a wonderful thing. And that makes me very happy that you think that. And I said, there's absolutely nothing wrong. God has given you that desire. But I want to tell you something. The Bible talks about a woman being your crown, someone that you honor and respect. When you see women like in these magazines and on movies and stuff like that, what you do is you start to look at them different. You don't look at them with honor and respect. You look at someone that is there for your pleasure, and it becomes a selfish thing. When love is giving, it's non-selfish. So I want you to think about this. Those girls you just looked at in that magazine, they're somebody's sister.
Somebody's daughter.
Somebody's mother. And I think about your sister who you love so much. Would you want somebody looking at your sister like that? He said, no. I said, that's right. You want someone looking at your sister with honor and respect, and that she's a crown.
Yes.
And that woman that God is preparing for you to have, her mother wants you to look at her that same way.
That's right.
So you have to guard your heart for this, son.
Yes.
You have to, you know, prepare your heart for this, because there's going to be things trying to pull you in every different direction. But it's up to you. Do you want to have a good marriage, or do you want to start off really bumpy and rocky?
Yep.
That's going to be up to you.
Yep.
And what you decide today will determine that, because you're turning into a man. You know, you're not a little boy anymore. And you're turning into a man right now.
I can't follow you around. I'm not going to chase you around, but God knows exactly what you're doing, what you're thinking, and what you're reading. So you got to guard your heart, because the devil's trying to get in and mess something up that God meant to be really good, really enjoyable, very passionate. But there's a certain way to do it. And you do it the wrong way, that's a lot of weeds start trying to pull up. You don't want to do that. Keep it pure. God's going to give you a spouse one day.
And we would talk openly about it a lot.
Yes.
If he had questions, I'd answer them honestly. But a few years go past, and I'm in the car, picked up a bunch of them from basketball practice one day. And I guess they forgot I was in the car. I'm driving. They're all just da-da-da-da-da talking. And just a dude on my wedding night, I'm on a blah, 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 blah. And they're just talking. And it's still young boys, you know, and I'm just kind of listening to it for a minute and letting them go on. And they go, yeah, dude, on my wedding night, I'm going to, and so they kept talking. I said, finally, the third kid spoke up, says what he's planning on doing. And I said, well, boys, I want to tell you, if you do any of that you just talked about, you're going to make the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life. They go, what do you mean? And let me just say, I've never had five little boys' attention as much as I did this few moments. No interruptions at all.
Truth will set you free.
I said, there's two couples I know. Couple number one, on their wedding night, he went in and did exactly what you said. He never gave his wife a thought. He was talking about what he's going to do to satisfy himself. He didn't care that it was her first time. He didn't care that it hurt her. You know, he just wanted to satisfy himself and stuff that he had built up in his mind. So he did. Then I want to tell about this other couple. They had a big wedding, and it had gone on into the night, and he knew she was exhausted and emotionally exhausted. Boy, some mother raised this young man very good.
Yes, sir, Reba.
And or father, somebody, but
yes,
he went to the hotel, and he said, honey, now let me fix a bath for you. Fix a bath for her. She went in. He goes, I know you're tired. You've had a big day putting all this together. Let me just hold you tonight. And that's what he did.
Whoa.
And the next day he said, I know you've never had sex before, and I want this to be very special. So today, let's just touch each other. And then maybe tomorrow when you're ready, we'll take it to the next step. And he did. He waited on her to guide that.
Merry Christmas to you.
Now, which of those two wives do you think would say to her husband anytime that he wanted to go to the bedroom? Yes. Of course, that second couple.
Uh-huh.
But how many times do you think that husband had to beg over the years to try to make up for that one,
yeah, but
that one horrible night of just passion for him? They're sitting there, they're staring at me. These boys are staring at me, and they go, finally, the most outspoken of them all goes, "Dude, we had it all wrong." Woo. And somewhere there's five young women that really should be grateful to me.
Oh, that's so good.
But, you know, if you don't tell your kids the truth, they're going to hear it from other boys like that.
From some other doofus. And they're going to get it all wrong, and their wedding's going to go south.
And they and boys are lying like dogs.
Yeah, they are. They're
those boys lying. Didn't even know what they were talking about. They were all virgins. And you know, it was just pure fantasy of stuff that they had heard from their bigger brothers or whoever.
Yep.
So be honest with your kids. Don't tell, like Joe said, don't tell them too much. I'll tell you one time when, this is the last thing I'll say, but one time after my husband and I divorced, my son said, "Mom, was one of the women that Dad had an affair with so-and-so?" And I said, "Well, what made you ask that?" And he said, "Well, one time we went to the movies and she just kind of showed up and it just was weird and blah, 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 blah." And I said, "I tell you what, son, if you want to know the real answer to that, the truthful answer to that, I'll tell you. But you're asking a hard question that once you open this door, it will now become something that you're going to have to deal with. Right now you don't, because you don't know all the details."
Yep.
So if you're prepared to deal with that and to walk out all the details that really don't matter, because what's done is done, I'll tell you. But what I'd like you to do tonight is pray about it. Think about it. And then tomorrow, if you really want to know, I'll answer whatever questions that you have. And he said, okay. He went to bed, woke up next morning, came in. He said, "I really don't want to know."
Really?
And I thought that, and he's never asked me about it again. Never. And he's 30 now. And I just really appreciated that he was smart enough to realize. Now, I could have been a bitter mother and said, "Oh, well, let me tell you all of what happened." But why would you put that on your children? Because once that comes out of your mouth, they have to deal with it. And my job as a mother was to protect them. And so it would not help them one bit to know any of those details.
Right.
Or anybody else for that matter.
Right.
There's things that my family will never know, because it would just make it harder for them to deal with.
Yes.
And I don't want that to happen. Nope. And here's what happens though, is then you get over it and then they're all still bitter about it. And, you know, because they took an offense for you, and that's just not fair. So be careful. Use wisdom. Ask God to guide you. If you made a mistake and said too much,
yep,
ask him to forgive you.
Come on.
And just talk honestly with them. You know what? It is okay to be a flawed parent. None of us are perfect. I can't tell
you. There are no perfect parents. That's right.
How many times have I said, "I'm sorry"? You're right. I am sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And, you know, I feel like I've developed a taste for eating crow pie. So that's what we call it in the South when you basically have to acknowledge that you're wrong to everybody else. So I don't wonder where that came from. That's anyway, we love you guys. Life is an adventure, especially when you're raising kids.
Yes, it is.
It is a song and dance routine that takes a lifetime to fulfill. But I love every minute of it.
I know.
And we love you. Keep sending in your questions. Don't forget to share this on your Facebook. And please keep in touch. We love you.
We love you guys.
See you next time.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.